Heidi, mai ki tēnei hōtaka. Welcome to the panel, RNZ National. E whākine I tēnei, coming up to the Olympics on the latest, and we revisit the incredible goal by the Black Ferns and what it means for the future of women's and girls' rugby. Rugby player Alice Soper joins us today. And the Human Rights Commission, they've launched a national inquiry into the housing crisis, saying it's a massive human rights failure and successive governments have failed. Also, one in three New Zealanders living overseas are planning to return home, and many are wanting to stay for good. Kia New Zealand Chief Executive Tony Truslove on that. Plus, a big rise for ACT in the latest poll to a new high of 11%. Now, why do you think that is? I'd be interested to hear your view. Theories most welcome. 2101 is the number to text. You can email me, thepanel@rnz.co.nz. And a North Shore garden has been issued a warning after planting wildflowers and fruit trees in the berm in front of her home. Would you be happy if a neighbour planted out the berm next to you? Well, our monohiri today, Heather Roy, former ACT Deputy Leader and Minister, Professional Director and Business Consultant with TalkPoint. Heather, kia ora, welcome to the panel.
Kia ora, Wallace.
And with us also, Peter Dunn, former Cabinet Minister and former Leader of United Future. Peter, welcome to you too.
Hi, Wallace. Nice to be here again.
Good to have you both on. And with our story of the day, Caitlin Sherrod. Kia ora, Caitlin.
Kia ora, Wallace. Before I start, I have a joke that I just found out.
Oh.
Where do bad rainbows go?
Where do bad rainbows go?
To prism. You know when you just hear a joke and you just want to share it with the world? Okay, I'll get on with
Happy
the real story.
Happy Monday to you too, Caitlin.
So it's actually the 40th birthday today of MTV. So that was music television. It went to air on the 1st of August, so that's yesterday for us, 1981, the first words spoken were "Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll," and this is the song that played first.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Oh, oh. You know this one, Willis?
Look, Buggles, right?
Yep.
It's Buggles. Video killed the radio star. Of course I do.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was a very apt song, being it was a video and
indeed,
killing the radio star. It was basically how it began was a sort of top 40 format. So they had sort of video disc jockeys, or VJs as they were called, introducing the videos, bantering about the stuff between the songs. Actually, it didn't work very well at the beginning, and the main reason for that is there just weren't enough music videos, so they just had to repeat the same ones again and again, and people got a bit sick of that.
Yes.
Initially they also didn't even feature R&B artists, so when they did, things started going to the next level. As we know, it went on to revolutionise the music industry, and it actually spread throughout the world and helped some artists reach these massive new levels of fame, perhaps that they might not have otherwise, because certain groups and artists put just as much work into their videos as they did into their music. Madonna, for example, Duran Duran. So they got really into video and effects to make their videos like hugely elaborate. And the other thing that happened is that some veteran artists got a bit of a new lease of life.
Oh,
so
yes.
Do you remember this song by Peter Gabriel? You know it?
Who doesn't? Peter?
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember the nut title. The song
Heather?
Is very familiar.
Yeah, no, it's
Sledgehammer.
What a song.
And so the video for that, I don't know if you remember it, but he worked with Aardman Animations, and they made him kind of do stop motion. So he's performing the song in a kind of stop motion style with all these things happening around him, the planes flying around him and all sorts of things. Dire Straits did something very similar with their Money for Nothing video. Honestly, the animation looks hugely dated now. It looks like a really cheap version of Minecraft, but it's kind of like block animation.
Yeah.
But they also had those sort of effects of, you know, bright fluoro lines bouncing out of the actual performers on stage, that kind of thing. So that was really big for them. And since then, music videos have got so much more elaborate, and there's quite a lot of quite famous directors who made their start directing music videos. The most expensive music video ever made is one that I don't actually know that well. It's Scream by Michael and Janet Jackson. It's a duet they did. It's set on a spacecraft in outer space.
I don't know that one.
It has these kind of anti-gravity effects. Apparently it cost $7 million to make back in 95. Express Yourself by Madonna is up in the top three. That was actually directed by David Fincher, the famous director, for $5 million in 1989. I have to say, I just watched it. It's actually quite bad. Filmed in a film noir style. Randomly male models in the wet inside, like in the rain inside, and doing lots of press ups. Spike Jonze, remember, he's a director who made Being John Malkovich. So he made a bunch of fantastic music videos. So my favourite music video is his video for Fatboy Slim for the song Praise You. I'll just play it for you. I have to praise you like I should. In this video, what happens is that there's a group of dancers who do a kind of performance of it in the style of a flash mob.
That's right.
In a theatre, and he actually filmed the whole thing guerrilla style, so actually went to this place without any permission with a group of sort of actor dancers, including himself, and they did a dance routine, very amateur style and quite badly, to this song.
Utterly unique, and like just the first few bars of that song, I can see the video right there, which I guess is the strength of the visual medium, isn't it? Heather, is there a video, maybe even of that era, that comes to mind?
That springs to mind. It wasn't very complicated, but the one that just popped into my mind, if I had more time to think about it, I might come up with something else, but Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights.
Oh,
I was
just mesmerised by that. Running through the forest in the white. Yeah. We used to act that out.
Yep. Yeah, it's that type of thing I'd go for too. To me, I never actually watched them as much as saw them as being wallpaper in the background.
And so you
enjoyed the music, but you didn't.
Yeah, concentrate so much on the visuals. Yeah.
Well, I mean, now they're still huge, but it's all through the internet and through YouTube and so on.
I think that if that era, if we're talking about the MTV era, two come to mind. It's got to be Dire Straits' Brothers in Arms, which I thought was very unique because all they did was, it was just a drawing. It was like an animated drawing. And I thought that was very toned down, very unique. And the other one, of course, I mean, who can't go past, in the MTV era, the 15-minute version of Thriller by Michael Jackson.
Of course.
And that is the, I guess, that I've got to pick those two videos. So text us 2101. Is there a video of that era or any other video that really sticks with you?
A word of caution about this one.
Yeah.
When Michael Jackson died, I showed my kids his past work just like to give them a bit of an education, to say like he was a really significant guy. This is before we knew the really bad stuff. And I wasn't really thinking that my youngest son was 5 and he was so terrified by the Thriller video, I found him cowering in the corner. So don't show it to your son, Wallace, whatever you do.
Yes, it is quite scary, isn't it? Caitlin, thank you. So it's 40 years ago that MTV started as a quiz. Can you recall, can anybody recall a New Zealand version of that, or at least an Auckland version? And it was called Max TV. That was sometime.
I recall the name. I can't recall anything about it. I do remember Max TV was around for not very long. I seem to remember.
No, that's right, 3 or 4 years. Right.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of ACT, why is ACT going rising so high in the polls? We're going to be talking about this. One texter says because ACT believes in true democracy, not ignoring the 250,000 licensed responsible firearms owners, not the criminals. Hence their increasing popularity. So asking for reasons as to why you think that ACT up rising so high in the polls. So certainly we're going to be talking about that later on in the program. Time for I've Been Thinking. Heather Roy, you first.
Thank you, Wallace. I've been thinking about a story that Guy and Espiner published on Radio New Zealand website this morning, yet another tragic story of a family affected by Pharmac's refusal to fund medications that are easily accessible in other countries. And it's a Tauranga couple are splitting up their family so that the mother can take their daughter for access for treatment for spinal muscular atrophy to Australia while her husband and her son, their teenage son, stay here. And the story itself is very tragic, but it's indicative of a whole lot of families who are suffering as a result of this. And it's easy to blame Pharmac, but actually they're just doing what the government tells them to do. But they're 28 years old, and when it was set up, medicines looked very different. They've evolved significantly in that time, and we've now got personalised medicines, which mean if you've got a DNA test, you can actually, you know what treatments will work on you, but the model hasn't changed. And Pharmac's going through a review at the moment, but I have to say I'm pretty cynical that we're going to get the right outcome from that, because they're not looking at the right things. And the, you know, there needs to be a medicine strategy. We need to know what we expect from the health system. And I just don't think that we're at that point. So there's a lot of work to do there so that people can get access to medicines when they need them.
Kia ora, Heather. Okay, Peter Dunn, I've been thinking.
Well, I'm, it's a health-related theme also. I'm becoming increasingly frustrated and bewildered by the way in which a number of overseas health professionals who are resident in New Zealand are being treated in terms of their families for permanent residence here during the COVID crisis. And it just seems to me to be absurd that we've got the situation now where we've got doctors leaving the country to go back home to their homelands because they can't get their family's residence situation sorted out. Now, I know the government's immigration reset is about trying to focus more on job opportunities for New Zealanders, but you just don't produce doctors at the drop of a hat. We've got a lot of work to do to produce doctors to fill the gap. We never will. We'll always have to rely on some overseas doctors to come to New Zealand, and it just seems to me to be crazy at a time of a great crisis when we've got doctors and other health professionals here working who are saying, look, I'm not going to stick around if I can't get my family's residence situation sorted out. It just seems to me I know in other emergencies, not nearly as serious as COVID, we've done this in shortage areas before. We've said if you come in as a skilled worker, you can bring your family.
So what's missing here?
Well, I just think a policy commitment to save the doctors can A, get permanent residence, not just be on a series of work visas, and B, that is extended to their immediate family. I mean, we've done it before. It's not a radical option.
I agree absolutely with Peter, and I think that there's a couple of other perverse side effects too. I mean, many of these people have been promised a path to residency when they came, and now that's sort of been, that rug's been pulled out from underneath them. But there's also doctors here who, because they haven't got residency, can't buy houses, they just can't do the things that we would expect them to do, but they're such hugely important parts of our society and often of very small communities where New Zealand doctors don't want to go.
They may have teenage children about to head off to university. They get no support whatsoever.
Right.
So they've got full costs.
Full fees. Full,
yes.
Yeah.
And you know, while doctors are paid large salaries, they're not infinite.
Very interesting. Thank you, Peter Dunn and Heather Roy. So a lot to discuss this afternoon, and just a couple of comments from you. And actually regarding the videos, because there are quite a few here. Max Headroom, virtual presenter, says Nick and Nelson. Peter says Strawberry Fields from 1967, and Josh in Rewalka Valley in Motueka says Take On Me or Walk Like an Egyptian by the Bangles. My teenage daughters are lapping these up now. Lots to discuss this afternoon on the panel. Stay with us, 4 to 5. Right here.